2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Ever snore so loud it registered as an earthquake, or you woke up with a throat as dry as the Sahara Desert and a headache that could stop a locomotive? Well, I've had all of these because I have sleep apnea. Hi, I'm Scott Mitchell. Yep, I wear a machine plugged into a wall attached to a hose every night. Sound Sleep Medical changed all of this for me, and they can do that for you. They specialize in providing oral appliance therapy for individuals suffering from sleep disorders. In many cases, oral appliances have proven to be as effective as CPAP machines in treating sleep apnea. The lack of sleep is a serious health risk and has been linked to heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and even depression. The oral appliance I got from Sound Sleep Medical has freed me from a hose. I can go anywhere, and I've never slept better. Call Sound Sleep Medical today. Seriously, for a limited time, the first 25 people that call get a free consultation worth $200. Call 801-783-5451. It's 801-783-5451.
Welcome into Jazz Notes. I am Zach, coming to you from the second floor of the Triad Center in beautiful Salt Lake City.
Yeah!
Joined alongside my co-host for tonight, Evan Mooley Jr.
What's up?
Emma, how are you doing today?
Good.
We are here at Jazz Houston. They have a problem.
They do have a problem.
It's the ninth time that the Jazz and Rockets are facing off in the playoffs. Starting Sunday, 7:30 Mountain Time, KSL will be there in Houston covering the game. Jeremiah Jensen, Matt Glade, making the journey down south and east to beautiful city of Houston. And
it's hot there.
Yeah, it's really hot. But we're not talking temperature. We're not weathermen.
No.
Okay.
In fact, who are we? I'm sure a lot of people are confused.
Yeah. Quick intro. We are producers for SportsBeat, KSL Sports TV. We also contribute to KSLSports.com. Haven't been invited on KSL Sports Radio yet on Unrivaled. So we'll have to talk with Alex about that. So
will it ever happen? Probably not.
Probably
In fact,
not.
Cleon royally messed up by putting us on this podcast.
I agree. but we're not going to delve into that.
Nope.
We're
going to give it's too you late. We already are in the
preview.
We're in the booth.
Yeah. In fact, we got the door locked. It's barred. No one's getting in. We're in our little keep.
It's too late.
So here we go. But we're going to be talking Jazz Rockets. Game one, like I said, coming up Sunday. We have some sound from players from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Paul, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert. We'll get to that. One of the things that we'll talk about, that they talk about, that we'll kind of get things started with, though, is the concept of familiarity. There's a lot of familiarity between these two teams. They played in the second round last year. Jazz lose in five games.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, this is the ninth time that they played. They had, starting back in 1985, that big series where the Jazz get the upset. All the way to now in 2019.
Yeah, I mean, even, you know, the 2007 run. We'll talk about all that in a minute, you know.
Yeah, but first let's get to some sound. We heard from Chris Paul and Mike D'Antoni yesterday just about what they expect from playing Jazz, the familiarity that they have with
again,
them.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like I said, it's repeating itself. But even with all the familiarity that there is, there are some differences with this team. For example, Trevor Ariza's out for the Rockets. Mm-hmm. Dante Exum's out for the Jazz. Two of the key defenders in that series last year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear from Chris Paul first. Here's what he had to say about what he thinks about this first round matchup.
We're extremely confident because we know what we're capable of when everybody's
on the same page and we're playing at a high level. So we get a game on Sunday to come out and show what we're capable of, and we'll hopefully be ready for that.
I think they're going to be ready. They kind of have a chip on their shoulders just based on how they started the season, the Rockets do. For as bad as the Jazz started, the Rockets were almost as bad, especially with the expectations that were laid on them, being one of the two best teams in the Western Conference entering the season.
One of the two best teams in the Western Conference defaults to one of the two best teams in the league, honestly.
Right.
And I think they will be ready. I mean, Chris Paul, not really one for really great sound. He kind of just gets business done, tells it how it is. And that's how they play. Both Harden and Chris Paul have been in the league for so long, and they've been to the playoffs over and over. It's hard for me to imagine that they won't be ready for the Jazz. But, you know, on the flip side, the Jazz will be ready for the Rockets. I mean, I feel like they've been kind of waiting for this since last season, end of last season.
Right. This is a perfect opportunity just based on how they hit such a high with that Oklahoma series, and then just such a low with the Houston series, and a lot of things didn't go right.
Right.
They lose Ricky Rubio in game two, and the offense just never seemed right. They kind of sputtered a little bit. And the Jazz and Rockets this season when they played, they split the series, the four-game series, 2-2 during the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
But with both of these teams, they didn't catch each other during the time that they're playing their best basketball.
Right.
Since February 1st, the Jazz I'm pulling up this note right now. Since February 1st, Houston has the number one offense in the league, number five defense. The Jazz, on the other hand, have the number three offense and the number one defense. So this is a clash of the Titans.
For sure.
That potentially, if depending on how coaching and obviously how the players go out there and play, they got to go out there and play. It all depends on what they do. The coaches can coach them up.
For sure.
This could be a great matchup, a great game of chess between Mike D'Antoni and Quinn Snyder.
Uh-huh. I think, you know, one of the things, and I'm sure we'll talk about this a little bit later, that the sense that the Jazz fans got when they found out that we were playing the Rockets first, when the Jazz were playing the Rockets first, was kind of like a little bit of like, oh, crap, you know, here we go.
Yeah.
Because we know it's a tough game.
Right.
But for me, you know what, I'm pretty excited about it because we get the first, arguably the hardest team out of the way first, you know.
Right.
And if we can overcome that hill first, you know, now I'm not going to say it's going to be easier, but
well,
it's definitely
Golden State in the second round, most likely,
sure,
barring a major surprise. But yeah, I mean, if you want to beat the best, or if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that concept, but the Jazz were in a potential situation. If they slide a game and they go to six, they're playing Portland, which is a great matchup.
Yeah.
And this is all what ifs, but the Jazz potentially had a very easy path to the conference finals if they go through Portland and then Denver, two teams that the Jazz match up with very well. But now they have a challenge. They have to prove themselves. And if they go out and win this series, then this is a major accomplishment for the growth of this franchise, especially with Donovan Mitchell still probably 3 or 4 years away from hitting his prime.
For sure.
And Rudy Gobert still having another 1 or 2 years in his prime. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens. We'll give our predictions later, but first let's hear from Mike D'Antoni. He talked a little bit about, like I said, that concept of familiarity, what he knows about this team and what the Jazz know about the Rockets.
Focus is Utah, and we know what a good team and obviously great coach and some great players, and it'll be tough. But if I could substitute that name for a lot of other names in the West, then it'd be the same thing. And no matter who you get, it's like, oh, no, not that team. And it's just the way it is. I think we know them really well. They know us really well. Basically, you don't change what you do, and our philosophy and their philosophy are going to be the same. So it's just competing who can insert their will or, you know, impose their will on the other team. The team is going to win, and guys are going to have to make big shots, and guys are going to have to get timely plays, and it always comes down to that. And It's just like OKC. We played well and still got beaten. That could happen. But I'm just looking forward to being able to compete, and I'm sure the players are doing the same thing. And this is something they've worked for all year, and we're in a good position, and we got to take advantage of it.
I think he's exactly right. Like, that's the West. That's what the West Western Conference is. It's funny that he mentioned OKC and Houston, because that's kind of, you know, the Jazz were on the path of playing Portland first. Then within like a half hour, that flipped and Houston loses to OKC, and the Jazz all of a sudden have to play Houston in the first round.
Yeah, so that Tuesday night game against Oklahoma City, I wrote about this on Monday night for KSLSports.com. I had an idea that Jazz fans didn't like, but hindsight 2020, I think I was right. I thought that the Jazz should have essentially tossed Tuesday night's game against Denver. I think that because they had nothing to lose, because sure, all they had to do was bring out the starting lineup and win one game against the Clippers if things didn't turn out the way they needed them to. But what needed to happen for the Jazz was that they needed Portland to beat Los Angeles on Tuesday and Houston to lose to OKC on Tuesday. If both those things happened and the Jazz lose to Denver, that created a situation where potentially barring Wednesday's results, Portland could have moved up to 3, which it happened, mm-hmm, and the Jazz could have slid down to 6.
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, that 3-6 series, the Jazz probably would have been favored in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the 6, most likely 2 series with Denver, the Jazz probably would have been favored in that. But I will say this, the way that the Jazz came out against Denver, especially that after that lackluster performance against Los Angeles on Sunday night,
mm-hmm,
I think that does more for their confidence entering the playoffs than if they were to roll out a lineup of Grayson Allen, George Niang,
right,
Nas Mitri Long, and Tony Bradley.
Right.
And the Joe stars. Ingles, because Joe Ingles has to play. He's the Iron Man.
Sure.
He has to keep playing.
Yeah.
But the Salt Lake City Stars plus Joe
the
Ingles.
Lineup, yeah.
But I think what Donovan coming out and scoring 46 points,
mm-hmm,
against the Nuggets, the second best team in the West, that does it's a huge amount of confidence that I think that they needed after that Lakers game.
Yeah.
If they end on a 3-game skid by essentially throwing away 2 games at the, mm-hmm, end of the season,
doesn't
I don't think that they enter the playoffs with like that eye of the tiger mentality, like,
right,
that aggressive mentality that they need, especially spearheaded by Donovan,
mm-hmm,
where he struggled last year against Houston. And we'll talk about all this later. We still have some sound,
yeah,
that we got to get to.
Yeah.
In
fact, I think you're right in all this, and I think it just shows what good of a coach and what a wise coach Quinn Snyder is, because,
right,
you know, he, I don't know if he, like, kind of let up in the Lakers game and then saw, like, okay, now we need to get some momentum, and what a better team to do it against than Denver.
Right.
But I really do think that, you know, it was a really weird last 3 games for the Jazz.
It was.
And I wonder how much of it is, like, Quinn Snyder's planning. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's he wants it to happen.
Well, that Wednesday night was just weird all around the league. I mean,
yeah,
you had that whole – the Kings collapse and Denver's comeback against Minnesota. It was just a really, really weird night.
Yeah,
Grayson Allen going for 40. Which was awesome.
You know what? It was funny, too, because I saw a tweet. And I don't know. I didn't fact check this. But I just chuckled. And it said Grayson Allen's career high is 40. And – Gordon Hayward's career high is 39.
Yeah.
It's just so funny.
No, it was funny because, well, there was a few weeks ago, Gordon Hayward scored 21 points on like 9 of 9 shooting.
Yeah.
And then like 2 hours later, because Mountain Time Zone against Eastern,
sure,
Grayson Allen scores 23 on like 9 of 11 shooting. And yeah, it was funny because, of course, Jazz fans have to bring that up.
Sure. You got to pour salt on that.
Yeah, exactly. You got to pour salt on that wound. But speaking of the Jazz, we got to hear some of their perspective with this whole – this matchup, what they think about maybe getting some revenge from last year's round two disappointment. So here's what Donovan Mitchell and Quinn Snyder had to say about the matchup against Houston.
Honestly, it's excited. You know, I think we all are. You know, obviously it was an intense series last year. Unfortunately, we didn't have a full team last year, so I think we know we're a little more excited this year coming in with everybody, you know, healthy. And, you know, we're familiar with them. They're familiar with us. There's going to be no surprises, you know. So I think that'll be the biggest thing coming into this series. As opposed to last year, you know, facing OKC, you know, you didn't really know what was going to be thrown at either way. You know, so this year we kind of have an idea of what to expect both ways, and that's what's going to make it interesting.
There are different teams. Some of them are different. We're different. You know, Dante was in the series last year, so there's differences, but I think there's more similarities, and it's just a question of us having the right mentality. You know, we know who they are. You know, they're an excellent defensive team. You know, they talk, they touch it, they switch it, they grab it. Those are the things that they've talked about at their defense. And, you know, to the extent that we have to be stronger mentally, we have to play through the grabbing.
Okay, two things I want to talk about from that last bite from Quinn Snyder. He called Houston an excellent defensive team. The reason why is because of their ability to switch that throws off the Jazz pick and roll game. This is where we're going to start getting to the preview, the matchups.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're getting down to the nitty gritty, guys. The Jazz struggled last year in the playoffs with Ariza, who is out, and Clint Capela, and the Rockets' ability to switch when the Jazz run the pick and roll, which is kind of their bread and butter. I mean, you see it with
right.
Joe Ingles and Derek Favors running the pick and roll is a thing of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky Rubio and Rudy Gobert running the pick and roll is a thing of beauty. But the Jazz struggled with that last year. A couple of things that are going to kind of be key for the Jazz in this series is going to be Kyle Korver. He's coming off of an injury. He was wearing a wrap during shoot-around today. We don't know exactly what was going on, if it was ice or what, but his knee was wrapped up pretty heavily today during shoot-around, which is a cause for concern. If the Jazz aren't able to shoot the three, especially on above the break for threes, or even hit the corner three, that's something they struggled with against Houston in the two losses that they had this year.
Mm-hmm.
And by being able to do that and create some offense when they're getting stopped on the pick and roll, it's just going to be key for the Jazz in this series. If they want to get any sort of an upset, it's something that they're going to have to do.
I absolutely agree. And I think the thing that concerns me is, okay, so Kyle Korver, he needs to be healthy and he needs to be shooting. Joe Ingles, he needs to get the ball and get it often to start shooting, getting hot as well. But who else is there? You know what I mean? Jay Crowder, he's very inconsistent, and that mm-hmm. worries me, especially from three, because Jay can't – if he's cold, he keeps shooting, and that's the worst thing you can do against the Rockets.
He's a guy that tries to shoot himself out of a slump.
Yeah.
Rather than try and find ways to make plays for his teammates. Now, not that he isn't a playmaker, he can do
sure.
that. But
and in fact, when he's hot from three, he is on fire.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, though, is that inconsistency.
With Jay, I feel like he's always hot when they wear the purple uniforms.
Yes, he's
so,
feeling himself
yeah,
on that
he
one.
He always
yeah.
is feeling it. I just feel like Jay Crowder would have been perfect in the 90s NBA. he just would have dominated.
Yeah,
but,
for sure.
Yeah.
He'd have a flat top.
He would have a flat top. I don't know. I like the dreads, man.
Yeah, but if he's in the 90s, dude, he's going to have a flat top.
Yeah.
Kid and play style. Like, anyways, so Jay Crowder, Ricky Rubio is another guy that needs to be shooting and shooting well.
Right.
I'm not going to say he's as inconsistent as Jay Crowder, but, you know, he has his moments where if he's cold, he won't shoot as much.
Mm-hmm.
He'll distribute, which is good, but also, like, we need a scorer. We need these guys to score, especially against the Rockets.
One thing that we did see, though, in the final kind of stretch of games, final five or six games or so, Quinn Snyder started to interject George Niang mm-hmm. and Grayson Allen in the lineup. They got bigger roles in mm-hmm. a couple games, but we saw Grayson Allen hit three different career high in scoring.
Yeah,
in
consecutively.
Like a week. Yeah,
yeah.
Like consecutively. I don't think they're going to be interjected into the rotation immediately. But if any of these guys are having issues, you throw one of them in.
Yeah.
You can throw in George if Jay's having a tough time shooting.
Yes.
Or if something isn't working out with Royce, if
yes.
he's struggling. Or if Kyle, if he's not completely back from his...
like limited minutes or
yeah,
something.
If he's yeah. limited, you can throw in George or Grayson. And they're not going to produce to that same level.
Yeah.
But you know that they can get the job done.
I think that's a big key difference from... between this playoff run and last year's playoff run mm-hmm. against the Rockets is the depth on the bench. And not to say like personnel wise, because we had people last year, but the bench has been producing a ton this year.
Yeah.
And I'll have to look up the numbers, but you know, just the fact Grayson Allen scored 40 points has to tell you that our bench is producing a lot more.
Right. You have that option. Tabo's back. He wasn't available for the playoffs last year. Of course, mm-hmm. Dante's gone. Arguably the best perimeter defender, the best lockdown defender
yes.
against James Harden. So we saw after the Jazz Clippers game, Jay Crowder getting some advice on how to guard James Harden.
Yeah.
Hopefully Jay's not the one guarding James.
I know. But it that information does help.
Yeah, it does help. If he can disseminate that through the team, I imagine it would probably be someone like Royce or... Yeah. Donovan or Tabo or a combination. It'll be interesting to see who they stick on James. But I think one of the keys for this for the Jazz to be successful, we talked about it earlier, neither of these teams caught each other during the time that they're playing best.
Right.
Since January, the Jazz have only played February... The Jazz have only played the Houston Rockets once. It was on February 2nd. Since that time, especially after the All-Star break, the Jazz have been on a roll.
Yes.
Donovan's averaging 26 points per game since both the All-Star break and since January 1st.
Yeah.
So when he put out that New Year, New Me tweet,
uh-huh.
like it really, New Year, New Him, because he really struggled prior to that. He
yeah.
was kind of coming back from an injury. He did have... an incredible game in the first game against Houston back in October. He scored 38 points, which for much of the season until after the All-Star break, I believe that was his season high. But he's averaging 23.3 points per game against Houston. And the thing that we're seeing differently from Donovan since the All-Star break is his ability to hit the three. He really
yeah.
struggled, even in that game where he had 38 points, he really struggled to hit the three.
Yeah.
His three-point shooting percentage has gone up astronomically.
Yeah.
So if he's able to continue that and make plays, especially from outside, then it's going to be a huge boon for the Jazz
yeah.
To match Houston scoring-wise.
The biggest thing last year I also noted from Donovan was – they really needed him to kind of carry the team, especially after Rubio's injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of shaky in his confidence, especially when he was shooting 37 times, you know,
yeah.
like, and not scoring as much. There's a lot of criticism riding on him, especially, you know, in the wake of the Rookie of the Year race and all that stuff. This year, new Donovan. He's got so much confidence. I don't think I've ever seen him be as confident as he is now. He can score from the perimeter. He can score from the paint. He's still dunking on fools.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sight to
behold.
He
dunked for like the first 3 months of the season, and that was something that a lot of people were concerned about.
Yeah, but I think it was just from him being banged up from, you know, he's just healing.
Yeah.
Easing into the season.
Yeah, he. I think it took him a little bit longer than he expected to kind of get to full 100% healthy after that injury last year in the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
And then he kind of got banged up a little bit. I think it was against Minnesota on
yes.
October 31st, where he missed a couple games yeah. afterwards. The Derrick Rose game.
Yeah.
That's what that game will forever be known as. But, sorry. I'll
oh, no, you're good. But I'm finished. But I was just going to mention that another person that's been lighting it up since the All-Star break, Rudy Gobert.
Right.
He's been phenomenal. And, you know, everyone knows 300 dunks on the year. He's beating
Giannis, you know, in the paint right now,
right.
Statistics wise, double doubles almost every game so far, especially right. toward the end of the season. That's the kind of Rudy that we need peaking as we go into the playoffs. We need that, you know, he's going to have to produce a lot, especially, you know, in, cause you know, you play well in the key, it opens up the perimeter mm-hmm. and vice versa. If Rudy can get that pick and roll game going, you know, we could steal a game or two from Houston.
Right.
And, you know, lock it down at home. So yeah, another player that's been playing well, since the All-Star break. Another one I'm interested to see how he matches up against the Rockets.
Especially with Clint Capella struggling this season.
Mm-hmm.
Clint Capella was a force last year, especially in the playoffs.
It was crazy.
It was one of the craziest streaks that I've seen in a few years, because it seems like he almost came out of nowhere and was just dominant.
And Rudy just won the Defensive Player of the Year, and he's just scoring. Like,
Yeah. There was definite cause for concern. But Rudy's been playing excellent. Derek Favors has been a new man this year.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't the player last season that he has been this year. Now, he has sat out a couple games for back spasms. Part of me wonders if that's just been precautionary, because he played great against Denver the other night.
Yeah.
But his ability to lead that second unit down in the paint is going to be a tremendous boon for the Jazz, especially if they want to play their game. We've been talking a lot about the Jazz being able to go out and match the Rockets offensively.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that the Jazz can do that Houston can't do at the same level, because the Jazz are elite, is defend.
Absolutely.
The Jazz are an elite defensive team. They are the best defensive team in the league, especially down in the paint.
Yeah.
Between Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors, they're a hard team to beat when you're trying to go into the paint. So if the Jazz are able to come out and dominate defensively, it's gonna make Houston change the way that they game plan, the way that they run out lineups, the way that they are running picks, the way that they're handing the ball off, where they're setting up screens, stuff like that. If the Jazz are able to affect the quality of shots that the Rockets attempt to get off, then it's Utah's game.
Yeah. We need them to shoot low percentage floaters, as opposed to like giving Harden the lane, having him
lay
up.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, with Rudy playing the way he is, I could really see that happening. I think the Jazz can corral Harden and keep him at like 30 points instead of 50.
Yeah, he's averaging 36 points per game. I mean, he's having an MVP caliber season. I don't know if he'll get it just because Giannis was so special this year. But James Harden is one of the scariest players in the league to defend.
Terrifying.
Yeah. It all also depends on his surrounding cast.
Yeah.
Chris Paul isn't the most durable guy.
Mm-hmm.
He went down last year in the Western Conference Finals. Clint Capella's been struggling. Trevor Ariza's out. It'll be interesting. Ultimately, it's all going to be settled on the court, like I said earlier.
Yeah.
It's cliche. The players have to play. The coaches have to coach. I believe in what Quinn Snyder and his coaching staff, their ability to game plan, prepare, especially when they have their full arsenal of guys, which they didn't last year. I'm not crazy enough to think that the Jazz are going to come out and win this game for sure, or win the series for sure, but it wouldn't surprise me if they challenged Houston. And if they did things, if things just fell the right way, they make it happen.
So let me ask you this. Bottom line, game one, Rockets versus the Jazz. Do the Jazz win game one? What do you think?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think if they get a game on the road, it'll be game two.
Okay. So I'm going to say yes. I think the Jazz will win. I think surprise is our friend right now. And if we go in guns blazing in Houston and just catch them off guard in the first half and play, you know, number three NBA defense, you know, against the Rockets in the second half, I think we can pull off the win in the first game.
Okay.
But yeah,
I like it.
Cool.
The Jazz are no stranger to surprising Houston.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to talk about the top five Jazz playoff moments. Okay?
Let's do it.
So let's start with number five.
Okay.
This happened last year.
Mitchell into a reach. No! Oh! He came in hot and went up high. And when you get that hot, you've got to come in hot. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness, indeed.
Game, blouses. It's a Dave Chappelle sketch. It's the sketch where Prince dunks on the...
Oh.
Have you seen that one?
It's been a minute. I was so off on what you were saying.
Yeah, so Dave Chappelle, like, yeah, Prince dunks on the guys, and he's, like, hanging off the rim, and he says, game blouses, just like Donovan Mitchell did in that game. It was, one of the best dunks in Rockets Jazz history. One of the best.
It's one of the, not best, the best dunks in Jazz playoff history. But we actually do have one better. Don't have a sound up for it, but I'm going to describe it. Darren Williams dunking on the Rockets. Taken flight in 2008.
Against Battier?
Yeah, it was over Shane Battier.
Yeah. But if you haven't seen it, look it up on YouTube. Darren Williams dunks on Shane Battier because he dunks on him right over him. And as he's running back to get back on defense, he kind of looks like kind of stares at him as he's running back. Great, great memory.
Yeah, it was filthy. We have angles. We have so this was back when local news entities could shoot baseline.
Yeah.
So we have angles from both the back and front, and that thing was disgusting.
Nasty.
We showed it last night on the news. We're going to show it again tomorrow during Sports Beat. It was amazing. Okay. Number three best moment, Carlos Boozer exploding for 38 points in Game 7. Against Houston. That was round one, I believe, of that 2007 series. I mean, he was hitting from outside. It was 35 points. But nevertheless, he had
a lot of points.
Double-double, 35 points, 14 rebounds.
Prime Carlos Boozer, by the way.
Yeah, that was back when I thought Carlos Boozer was like, the greatest NBA player of all time.
It's just wild to think about because I thought the same thing.
Yeah. He was my hero.
Yeah.
Like, growing up as a kid in Utah, I thought Carlos Boozer was amazing. But, great memory. Great playoff run by the Jazz that year.
That was number three, right?
That was number three. Number two, Billy Paltz, the Whopper.
The Whopper.
Gets whopped by the Dream. He gets punched by Hakeem the Dream in Game 5, 1985. Frank Layden goes in the locker room, kisses Adrian Dantley after, says that you got to get this on camera. Just all-time classic
insane
Jazz moment.
Because, like, Mark Eaton went down. That's why Billy Paltz went in. Mm-hmm. And, like, when Mark Eaton goes down, everyone's just like, crap.
He's defensive player of the year, one of the all-time Jazz greats.
And his assignment was Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah.
Like, so people were like, oh, crap, we're toast.
And Paltz comes in, and he's kind of at the tail end of his career. And the Whopper came in.
He
was really frustrating.
So annoying.
Yeah.
And you could tell. And that, you know what? That's kind of a jazz thing, right? Is
right.
Where you just bother the player on defense so much.
It's like it's Joe Ingles with Paul George.
It's like three Joe Ingles rolled into one. That was Billy Paltz.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Okay. And, number one.
Obviously.
You guys know what this is. Come on.
Half court. Uh-oh. Stockton. Open three. Hit it! John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals.
What a glorious moment. The Jazz, 1997, heading to the first NBA Finals in franchise history. John Stockton hits the shot in Game 6.
Unbelievable. That's one of my first memories of the Jazz. Like, I was 10 years old. No, I was 9 years old, and I distinctly remember this game because I was watching TV with my dad late, quote-unquote late for a child, right? He let me stay up late to watch the last game, and I remember him taking off that. Like, so they inbounded the ball straight to Stockton, who was unmarked outside of the three-point arc. The funniest part of that clip is you hear someone say, uh-oh, right as John Stockton gets the ball.
I've never noticed that.
Yeah, it's the best. And then, you know the rest. John ices that three, and me and my dad went wild. It's the funnest memory I have of the 97 Utah Jazz run.
That's awesome.
It's great.
So those are our top five Jazz Rockets playoff moments. Make sure to stay tuned to KSLSports.com. Sports Beat, we are going to be on Saturday at 6 o'clock on Facebook Live, 6-ish.
Yeah.
This might get pushed back, might get moved up, but we'll have a Jazz preview. We're going to recap last year's series. We're going to recap the four games this year. We're going to go over those top five playoff moments. So if you guys want to see video of that, check out KSLSports.com, KSL Sports Facebook page. It'll be up on Twitter and on the KSL TV app. We also, Hema and I, also host a podcast called Sports Beat After Hours.
Great
podcast,
by the way.
You can get to know us a little bit more. We delve into not only sports, but we go pop culture.
Yeah.
No politics, so don't worry about that.
But it's a very irreverent take. So, you know, follow us, subscribe, because during the playoffs, there's going to be a lot of great moments that happen. A lot of Rockets, personally, annoy me, and I'm going to be making lots of stuff at
Hema
their
makes
expense.
A lot of great graphics. So we're going to have some great content pushing out on all our platforms again. KSL Sports Facebook, KSL Sports Twitter. You can follow me at Zach Hicken. Follow Hema at Hema Hemuli Jr.
And our Sports Beat After Hours has a Twitter as well. It's SB After Hours. A lot of great stuff to come. Dude, the playoffs are back.
They're back. I'm so excited.
We're back in the playoff groove.
Let's not go there. But thanks, everyone, for listening.
Sorry,
we'll be
Cleon.
Back, I believe, next Thursday. Hema, you and I are hosting together.
Yep.
Maybe it's Friday. We'll be back, though, previewing the Jazz return after Wednesday's game. Thanks for listening to Jazz Notes.